الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala has commanded us that we should fast, and this fasting, yes, ulama have written, is on every part of the body. And so we have discussed about fasting of the eyes. To some extent, the details can never, ulama have written whole kitabs, and how many kitabs on these various subjects. Then the fasting of the tongue, that is all backbiting, slandering, etc., as we heard now, how serious those things are. And then fasting of the ears also. That also we should do, that what is haram to speak is haram to listen to also. And a person shouldn't listen also. Not so long ago, maybe 2-3 months ago, a lady of South Africa passed away in Medina Sharif, and the people saw very Mubarak conditions of her. And one of the reasons why she had attained this, they established that she should never listen to ghibat. Women are more prone to it. But whenever anyone was to come and start backbiting about somebody or something, then she should say, let us rather talk of the weather. Let us rather talk of recipes, how to bake something. She used to abstain totally from backbiting, listening to it also. Making, speaking, that was out of the question, but even listening. So Allah Tabaruk Ta'ala, make that Allah give us also tawfiq. And for this, a person has to be alert all the time. Like as we listen, backbiting, of so many other things, a person has to be conscious, watching our eyes all the time, watching our tongue, our ears, all that, a person has to be alert. And that is so Allah Ta'ala make it that we can take that, but that make that our purpose to come here. And not just to finish our 30 days or whatever. And as our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, that those people want to pass time. They don't pass time, they fail time. That is, you just want to let time pass, to finish up the time. My 30 days must get finished. So these Hazrat says that those people don't pass their time, but they fail time. What has to be done in that time, that is important. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq also, that we our object be our islah, not just to talk. Even the speaker, if his niyat is to tell other people, then he's at a total loss also. It is for ourselves first and foremost, and then for others. So may Allah make it that that becomes a reality. Not just words to say, but that Allah makes it a reality, and this our islah can take place. So we should try and correct ourselves in all these matters. And as we are going along, don't wait for the end to see. See, am I really making some strides? Am I going forward? One is ibadat, alhamdulillah, which the satis, mashallah, engage in, Allah accept, inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq of more also. But more than ibadat this month, which is a month of ibadat, but it is la'allakum tattaqoon, so that we could acquire this taqwa. That is very, very important. And this a change comes in our lives. And the change should be happening now already. And after Ramadan, then we should see that when we go back to our families, go back to our friends, work environment, etc., then there we will be able to see clearly whether any change had come, whether we have got tolerance in us, whether we are controlling our tongue, our eyes, etc., our relationships, etc. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, that in every aspect we try and correct ourselves. So one very important other aspect also of fasting, which ulama have written, has the Sheikh Rahmatullah has written, the fasting of the stomach. And that may we do fast of the stomach, we don't eat. And from there we should learn, as in Ramadan, we don't eat anything. We so particular that not even, no, forget a sip, not a drop of water also must go down. We are particular about that. So like that we should be particular that no haram also goes down. At any time when we, for example, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written in the commentary of the hadith that some people get nothing from fasting, but they only go through hunger. They don't get any of the benefits. One of the reasons Hazrat has written is they open their roza on haram things. So they, then that whole fast, the purpose and the object of it was destroyed. So it is very, very, very important that a person, as far as fasting of the stomach is concerned, to see that only halal enters the stomach. And that is throughout the year. At sehri time, iftari time also, and then in the whole year whenever we eat, that a person must be very particular. With regard to that, there are two aspects. One person went and buy some meat from a butcher, and he said that, make sure you give me halal meat. So the butcher in return said, make sure you give me halal money. So the money income must also be halal, and the consumable, or the meat, whatever it is, that must be also halal. Both things must be halal. If with halal money we buy haram, it's a haram, we all that we understand. But if with haram money you buy halal things, then this haram money makes that halal also haram. That also becomes haram. There is, however, a little explanation there that when you bought with haram money halal things, so that is halal. But the end, this haram money, that was haram. But you can correct it. You stole that money from somebody, you went give him back his money. Whatever, you ask him for maaf or something. Now that has become. But haram that has gone in the body, that cannot become halal. And according to riwayat, up to 40 days, then a person's ibadat, etc., is not accepted. So it is very important that we save ourselves, protect ourselves from all types of haram. And the haram of the stomach, that no haram must enter enter the stomach. Today, when our businesses, in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we should go in, Hazrat Umar was Hazrat Umar. We are leader like that, the world perhaps will produce somebody like that. He used to go into the marketplaces, bazaar places, and check how the people are doing business also. And in his time, it was that a person was not allowed to do business unless he passes an examination that they know the rules and regulations according to Shariat about business. Today, our business people, who bothers to find out? We don't work. We will take the trouble to find out the laws of the country. For example, we have to pay taxes that I must pay. It must be paid on time, etc. All those things. Or if there are any regulations, nowadays there isn't really, it's deregulation. But before, for example, on a Sunday, you were not allowed to do open a shop. It was not permitted to open a shop on a Sunday long ago. So all a person will consider and observe all those rules. But the rules of Shariat, we seldom observe them. For example, it comes in the Hadith Sharif that if somebody purchases something and for whatever reason is not happy and he wishes to return it, then accept it. Iqala, that you reverse the sale. And on the day of Qiyamah, a person who did that, Allah will set his neck free from whatever he's burdened with. Allah will set him free. So much of it's a virtue. So consequently, one good friend of ours, was he came into business, and at that time he wasn't still so very well off and so rich. But now, mashallah, Allah Ta'ala has given him plenty. He explains himself, he had made this rule in his shop that any person who buys anything and they want to return it, then accept it. So on one, he says, Saturday morning, one of the salesmen came to him in his office upstairs and said, there's a lady here, this radio she had bought, and she wants to return it. So he says, you know the rule of the business, that you accept it. But he says, you can clearly see that the usage on it, that it was used, etc. He said, doesn't matter. You accept it back. So he accepted it. That lady became the source of his best advertisement. She was sitting, there were a few stairs you had to climb to get to the shop. She sat on the top there and busy, lot of people, so many. And she was screaming at the top of her voice and saying, anyone who wants to buy anything or any shop, come to this shop here. These are the best business people here. So we have mouth-to-mouth advertising. There isn't anything more superior than that. On that, I remember also this Hewlett Sugar Company, which is now famous, it's an perhaps international company listed on the stock exchange and where and where. But it was at the beginning just a small family company. And the owner had to wanted to sell his car. So he sold it to an Indian person in Durban area and they fixed the price. Perhaps in those days it was about 300-350 rand for in those days. So somebody came and offered him 500 rand. So he says, no, I've given my word, now I can't change my word. I've given it to this person for 300-350, so I will give it to him. So he did it. And Allah knows best, but after that it became such a big company. And so all these things Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, that we learn also the business rules according to Shariat, what they are. And we made very great effort that we see that only halal enters our stomach. One good friend of ours, student, mashallah, he's from Arab country, he says that I went with my father shopping to the shops when I went home. And some meat he bought it. So he told him his father that is this halal. So the father said, yeah, it's written halal. Zubiha ala tariqi sharia. On the Shariat tariq. So he said, it's just written there. Just the writing doesn't make it halal. And today, how many things are passed off as halal? Once we were returning from Umrah or Hajj, and we had ordered a fish meal or vegetarian, something like that, vegetarian or something. So it was Saudi Airlines, and the host was a man. So he became very angry on me. And he told me, what you think we're going to serve you haram, that you are eating vegetarian or something like that. So I saw he was very angry, so I didn't tell him anything. I waited, he finished everything serving and that. Then I called him. Then I asked him, that this all your meat, which you the meat products, from where do they come? This was an incident that happened at that time. And Maulana Abdul Hafiz Makki, Rahmatullah Ali, was very much involved in this, and he related to us, so we knew a little bit about it at that time. So I asked him, from where does your meat come? So he knew also, he said, from Brazil. Then I asked him, who are the slaughterers? He says, well, that we don't know who the slaughterers are. But it must be halal, because they got rules and regulations. They only accept halal food into Saudi when anyone imports from outside. If it's meat products, it must be halal. So it must be certified halal. So I said, yes, but this whole saga was taking place at that time, and all those slaughterers were Qadianis. Now if they are Qadianis and they are reading Bismillah and slaughtering also. So if we can't say all these things are haram, but to be careful. One beautiful dua اللهم جنبنا الحرام حيث كان وأين كان وعند من كان وما كان. Now we read the dua that Allah protect us. اللهم جنبنا الحرام حيث كان وأين كان وعند من كان وما كان. And add اللهم جنبنا الفواحش. That all fawahish also Allah Ta'ala protect us from it. So with dua, effort also is required. We make dua and then we make effort also to see that what we eat, how is that food, how much is it halal, how much is it doubtful. And doubtful, there is still some kunjaj, but what is haram is haram. And a person who falls into doubtful, that person is going to fall into haram. The beautiful example is given that if a shepherd grazes his animals on the border, at any time they can go out of the border onto the next people's land, and then they are in trouble. So you be safe, be where it is, where there is no danger there. So al-halalu bayyinun wal-haramu bayyinun. Halal is also clear cut and haram is also clear cut. In between are the doubtful things. And the doubtful things, then Allah protect us. They lead towards the haram finally. Imam Shafi'i, rahmatullah alayhi, says, a person who consumes haram, even if he doesn't want to, but he will do haram. And a person who consumes halal, even if he doesn't want to, he will do halal in the right things. Sayyid Fakhruddin rahmatullah alayh was one big buzurg of Durban. Very good. Haji Bey Padia rahmatullah alayh, one of the seniors in the work of tabligh and da'wah, etc. So, and he had one passion of giving da'wah to non-Muslims. On air travels, etc., wherever he had the opportunity, locally also. And he says that many times I used to give da'wah of Islam, but doesn't just register with the person. Then I should ask the person for 3-5 days, only eat food from this place here, from that place, in other words, halal. And he says, I saw a world of difference. When halal came into him, then he accepted Islam also easily. And the same way it is with regard to our paaki napaki, to stay in taharat or to stay without taharat. So that also, he says that many times I ask the person to take a bath and then after that see the difference. Like for example, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he went to his sister's place, and then he was very angry and he even hit her and everything. And then his eyes fell on some pages of the Quran Sharif and he wanted to touch it. She said, you can't touch it. First you take a bath, then you can. So then with a bath, it had a different effect. And from that also we can understand, perhaps it is, that Quran Sharif, we can touch the Quran Sharif only if we have got wudu. If we have wudu. So then the effects of the Quran Sharif will have a different effect. And if a person reads Quran Sharif, touches the Quran but without wudu, then that will have an opposite effect on a person. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq of being very particular and careful about these things. Once we were having this discussion, and a person, he explained, he said that he had given his car for service at the garage. When he went and picked it up, it wasn't still ready. They asked him, another little half an hour or so. It was towards the evening after his shop, closed his shop. So when he was waiting outside there, he saw from most probably one of these franchises, Kentucky or somebody, the worker, was a customer in their shop, and he knew that worker also. That worker went opposite to a shopping center, OK Bazaars at that time. And she came back and she had some packets in her hand. So I asked her, what is this? So she said, it's a chicken. And so he says, but yeah, you have got written halal. And they don't sell halal. She said, what must I do? The chickens are finished. So I have to have more chicken. So I went and purchased more. So to her, that importance of halal, or what even it implies or signifies, it's not in her. So all these outlets like this, we have to be very, very careful. In fact, in one place where the girl was studying at a university and the parents from the farm town came and visit her, first of all, to be out and studying at university is also not correct. There are so many wrongs that take place in there, and perhaps even many times the subject matter also is not correct what we study. Anyway, so they decided to eat out, go to one of these outlets, buy something and eat. So they ordered, and then while they warming it, etc., there was some time. So they asked that this year, which is written halal year, what does it mean? What else does halal mean? So that person there, he said it means piri piri. That is some masala added. Like Indian people like to eat strong food. So that is what it means. So when halal means that, then can well expect what. So we have to be very, very careful of what we eat. And you are what you eat. You are what you wear. These things have an effect. The same Sayyid Fakhruddin Sahab, Rahmatullah Alayh, he says that one of his grandchildren, or the mother, bought for him a police outfit, a dressing. So when he put it on, then automatically he started acting like a policeman, catching this person, putting handcuffs on him, etc. He started, because what you wear has got an effect on you, and there can be no doubt on that whatsoever. Mufti Yusuf Saab, who is the Imam of Hilal Masjid, he's in Umrah, he may be coming for a few days. He told me himself, he says, when after completing his 1 year, his studies, he went 1 year in Jamaat. And he says that I had both types of kurtas, the long with kurta without the slit, and the other shorter kurta with the slit also. And he says, without any doubt, wherever I went, which kurta I went, I could feel that effect. When you wore the shorter kurta with the slit in it, like humility, humbleness, and the long kurta, like I'm somebody. He says, I made it out clearly. It had that effect on me. Manana Muhammad Saliji in Phoenix. Once he came from Jamaat also, and then he phoned me, and he told me, because he said, I always used to hear that you used to say this, that the food, what we eat, it has an effect. And I should go by Abdul Wahab Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, that Bhai Abdul Wahab should say, was very particular about his food also, what he used to eat. In fact, Hadraji Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, this we saw with our own eyes. It reminds me about Maulana Saliji, Hadraji traveled the world, but he hardly ate the food from anywhere. His cook was with him also, and his ingredients also. And I saw on a dastarkhan, Hadraji had the habit of eating paan. So when paan is in the mouth, your mouth is moving all the time, like bubble gum, chewing gum. You know, all the time your mouth is moving. People should dish out for Hadraji. He shouldn't stop anyone. And his plate used to be full. And then he should say, give him. And people feel very happy that Hazrat Tabarruk and that. And all should think that Hazrat is eating, his plate is full, and his mouth is moving. But not one morsel he ate from there. And he ate very little also, and he was very particular. So about Muhammad Saliji, he phoned me and he told me, he said, what you used to tell us always, that the food has an effect on a person. He says, we were in Jamaat and in Pakistan. And there was one Sati all the time crying. Namaz, Tilawat, crying. Wonderful kaifiyat he had. Wonderful. But so much he used to sob and cry at night that we feared he might die also. So much he used to cry. So we went to one village and we told the elders of Jamaat Work, we've got this problem. They said, it's no problem. Take him to one of the tea shops and let him drink tea there from the tea shop. And if it is a shop where there is music also, even more better, take him to such a shop. So they took him there. He drank one cup tea there. And Abad, after that, his whole kefir changed. No more all that crying. No more all that ibadat. No more all that tilawat. One cup of tea at a place where there was music. And today, me and what is our condition? Who of us even thinks when we're hearing music somewhere of putting our fingers in the ear? Or we even like this... We don't listen to it attentively or something. How many of us on our cell phones, we got all these musical tones, etc. And then it's got the effect. And today, how many of us, tears come in our eyes? How many of us, our hearts, we feel that there's something in the heart? But we just think it's just like natural. It's normal. It's because of all these things. And really, I'm the worst of all in all these things. Allah Ta'ala forgive us. So we have to be very, very careful about all these things. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that with regard to the stomach, be very careful what we eat. That what we put in our stomach, we be very, very careful. And also how our income also, Allah Ta'ala make it easy, guide us, and take us towards righteousness. And let Ramadan be that turning point that we become conscious of all these things. And we bring a change in our lives, inshallah. Because the fruit of it will be in this world also, in akhirat. May Allah forgive us all, guide us all to righteousness, keep our iman, Islam intact. And inshallah, Allah grant us our full forgiveness, inshallah. Subhanallah.